This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد عباد الله All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, an incident took place during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It might be simple, it might be something that you heard several times in your life. But for me, it's not the incident itself, but the timing of that incident. Of just imagining myself in that time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and get to know that he just did what he did. Which is Aisha radiallahu anha, she said once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me if he wants to race with me, race with each other. Then she said, I agreed. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the caravan, and it was basically a caravan or a squad of companions, and they were in a war time. He asked them to advance, then he raced with Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Then she said he won. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy because he raced her before, and she was much lighter than that time, and she was faster than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this time, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to even it out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This will take care of the last one." قَالَ هَذِهِ بِتِلْكِ. Many people, they take this as an example of how nice and kind he was sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for me, I very much want to relate to this incident today. No doubt when you are in a war, when you are in an army going outside to meet your enemy, there is risk taken. That's a big concern for any leader who cares for his people, and the Prophet ﷺ cared the most. No doubt people are tense, worried, thinking about it. But this is, did not stop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to outlive this moment of his stress and concern, and also to find the time for him sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to enjoy his time with Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, which would allowed him to calm him down and to be in a normal state sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a calm state. So he can deal with these challenges in much better way, in much clearer mind, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Adam, after he ate from the tree and was exiled from Jannah, can you imagine the amount of this calamity? Sent down to earth, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry at him, and he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that. What the rest of his life was all about? He met his wife again, Eve, had children, family, established life on earth. He laughed and cried. He had good days and tough days and rough days, and he lived his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim, thrown in fire, then exiled from Iraq, walked all the way to the promised land of his, which is the land of Palestine, the land of Al-Quds. Then not only stayed there, he also traveled to explore the world. Went with his wife all the way to Egypt. And what happened to him in Egypt, when his wife was kept by the king of Egypt, and he came back and Allah saved them back to Jerusalem, had to marry the mother of Ismail, or Hajar, had a child from her, sent her to Mecca. Life goes on with him, رضي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yusuf, plotted against him by his own brothers, thrown in the well, then after that go to jail for years of suffering and calamities, and things are gloomy and things are not, doesn't look very promising. But ended up, رضي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of all this, not a moment of his life was documented that him or his father ever give hope for the future. As a matter of fact, his father Ayyub, when they told him that your other son, which is Binyamin, was kept by the king and he didn't come back with us. So Yusuf didn't come back with us, and now Binyamin didn't come back with us as well. What his father's response was, قال عسى الله أن يأتيني بهم جميعا. May Allah bring them both to me. He still have that hope in Yusuf alayhi salam, and that now almost 40 years after he lost Yusuf. ما قال عسى الله يأتي به أن يأتي بهم. يعني Allah will bring both of them back. He still have that yaqeen in his heart that they will come back. Didn't stop his life. He continued his life. Musa alayhi salam, his life completely changed, upside down, when he was forced to leave, or he left Egypt, stranger, alone, seeking a place to hide for refugee, as a refugee. And finally he ended up getting married and serving his father-in-law, spending 10 years, and didn't mind that at all, to stay there and to spend that amount of time of his life just acting and working like a farmer or a shepherd for his father-in-law. Then after that, life didn't stay the same for him. He came back to Egypt, and we all know the story. And if we look at the history of humanity, the history that the Quran tells us, and the history of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you will find that there is a simple fact, that life doesn't stop at one point. Life always keep going. It's us who sometimes we stop at one point of our life, or at one incident in our life, and it will paralyze us. And it's up to us to keep going and keep moving forward, or we stuck at one station or one stay, one basically point in our life. No doubt, my brothers and sisters, that our community, our society, our country are going through a tough time, rough time. Our nation, our ummah, as ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going through a tough and rough time. And we as Muslim, yes, we have the concern of our community, but we never lose sight. We never lose sight of our ummah as well. Because we don't only live for ourselves. We had that. No matter how difficult it is, or how comfortable it is, here where you live, in your city or your country, you never lose sight of what's happening in the Muslim Ummah, and that both ways. If you are in a time of comfort or a time of hardship, you always your eyes as well on the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No doubt that for us as a community, it is not been easy for the last 2 weeks, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how long and how far this will go. And not only us, it's the whole entire country. From the beginning, this administration have showed how much ignorance it has towards our religion. How much animosity and words of animosity and indications that clearly shows that there is people have an agenda based on ignorance and hate towards the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only towards us or towards the religion of Islam, but even against the most clear and basic and fundamental principles that this country was founded upon. Where generations have given up their lives and fought all their lives to ensure that these principles will be in place. No doubt the incident of physical attacks on masajids, like burning just in Texas in less than 10 days, apart from each other, two masjids, one in Lake Travis in Austin, another one in Victoria, burned down to the ground. And other masajids as well, nationwide. The incident which is all heard about in Canada, attacking a masjid and shooting at a masjid, and basically resulted of killing six people who are like yourself now gathering in this place. The brothers and the group who run the masjid here told me that they felt obligated to hire a security 24 hours basically for the masjid, just to ensure it will stay safe. Which it means, yes, a burden of expenses. But that's a level, if for me, wasn't about the money as much it's about the fear. About something that you start thinking about that you never thought about it before. You look at the laws, the executive orders, the planning that you hear pop it up. Forget about DC. Look at the states in general. You have, for example, South Dakota passing a law to forbid the local government from having any contact with organizations like CARE, MASS, and other organizations. And other states trying to inspire by that lawmakers in these states. And to make it something even national towards some organizations. You see and you hear about executive orders that prevent green card holders that they never thought threat, or that they one day they will not be able to live. Actually, they are in this their path and their way to be a citizen. All of a sudden, they're not allowed to enter the United States. People born, raised in England or France, they knew nothing about the countries, other countries that their family belonged to. All of a sudden, they're not allowed to enter the United States. And even things goes farther. People saying that this list will go bigger to include other members of other countries as well. People say, oh, it's not a Muslim ban. You know what? We didn't make that title, Muslim ban. And some people tell me, Sheikh, well, that's true. You know, it's not a Muslim ban. There is many Muslim country; they are not banned. You know what? We didn't make that claim. The one who signed that executive order made that claim during their campaigns, which is he asked for a total Muslim ban when he get in office. That's his words, not our words. We didn't make that terminology. When you look at what's happening today, when you see that this basically that this spirit in the country, that even some people say that they can hear from a distance, you know, the preparation that even America may be engaged in war in the recent months or year to come. It's make the person tense. Make the person's concerned. When you see the rise of the hate message, and you know what? We always have the haters. We always have the extreme right and the Islamophobes. But what is scary is when you normalize that sound, when you give them a foot into the administration, when you give them basically power that they never had access to it before, that's what make people stressed out, make people worry, make people scared. When you see that the rise of this extreme right, it is basically not only a threat to the comfort, it's a threat to the life and to the properties of Muslims, like what you saw in many incidents happening recently and through the time. And you know what else? It inspired the other far right, but Muslims group, the extremist group. Because fire, it will justify for some people to be met with another fire. Then you will have the cycle of doom. And that's what is it exactly. You inspire the far from this side to basically in the reaction, you will have another people come from the other side as well. You know, recently I had a meeting with some of the leaders of the Muslim community here with one of the representatives in Texas, a congressman. And I asked him, how do you see it in the Congress? Do you see like any hope that people come to a common ground or a common sense? And he said, no, I don't see that at all, unfortunately. You see that there is a kind of, you know, insidat, a moment of, you know, getting basically roadblocks that politically speaking, you see how hard it is to confirm people. All this, that division that you have, when you have more people vote against someone, still their president, talk about millions of people, and you have people who make a march that's double the size of the inauguration of the president, that's show you that there is a level of a split in the society. That's a clash. That's all I'm saying. This is not something new, I understand, but all what I'm saying, that this is no doubt make us as a community so stressed out, and make us as a member of the society so stressed out and worry about the future. And nothing ever shows that there is something coming out from the leadership that it will calm things down. As a matter of fact, it's getting, you know, pushing farther and farther. You can add to all of this for us specifically as member of the Muslim community in America, that what we see worldwide for our ummah, for our name, for our nation is the Muslims. When we see for the, I don't recall in the history, personally, and I spent a quiet time in my life studying Muslims' history, I don't recall in our history, ever, that there is that many of Sunni Muslims been prosecuted and been moved from their land. The demographic change to the Sunni map in the world has never happened in the history before like that. In that size. In Iraq. In Syria. It's unbelievable. And all this happening while people just watching and, you know, just watching what happened. When we see how in the Muslim Ummah the concept of killing government easily targeting their own citizen. Their own citizen. I heard about someone who's supposed to protect lives making a comment about an incident in one of the Muslim countries in Egypt when there is the protesters were killed and crushed in Rabia. Said, you know what? Don't exaggerate. It's only 600 people killed, not 2,000 people. What that means? 600 people is an easy number? 300 number, when death became a numbers? When we see that every other day you hear in the news, soldiers in Egypt are assassinated or killed, or people in Jordan took over the castle and start shooting at the people, or you hear these terrorist attacks left and right in Europe and in other places in the world. Blood means nothing today. Killing became something so easy by all kind of different groups motivated by different reasons. Nobody even questioned that. Nobody even raised question about the legitimacy and is that even right or wrong. This azma, this state that we're living in as a community, as in a society, as a whole world, it is something for me scary. And the scariest things about it, maybe some of us are too old to be really let these things go all the way to our core or to our spine. Maybe some of us deliver or over the years a thick skin. Maybe lived an outlived incident worse than this in our life. But you know what? Who really my heart goes for? So many young Muslims, young American Muslims, who never ever experienced anything like this in their life. America is a great country. You live in peace, you live in luxury life, especially those who live in urban areas. They have it all. But for them to live with all this, those who are in their 20s and their early 30s, maybe some of them have a lot of it heard about 9/11 and things, but they never lived it. To go through this, that's so hard. And as a person who deal with a lot, or new Muslims who join the religion of Islam, and they never experience anything like this in their life, and all of a sudden they have to deal with all this. When I hear kids in elementary schools, in fifth and sixth and fourth grade even, speaking about these issues, when I talk to my kids about going for a spring break trip, then they said, "Dad, make sure we don't leave America." When a father came to me and said, "My kids don't want to travel through the airport." When I see kids just so young, teenager, they're supposed to be having, you know, the best time of their life, going through these challenges and thinking about these things. When parents come to me and say, "Sheikh, I don't know about my 1 or 2 years old son or daughter, how their future will be." That's something really gets me as an imam, as a person who see himself as part of this community and one of the leaders of this community. When I see that the young men, they're completely shocked in the system, shocked by the leaders of their countries, the leaders of their community, of their society. When the youth see, a young man came to me and a new Muslim came to me in an event that gathered leaders in the Muslim community, they almost got in fight. Couldn't put their affairs together and organize themselves in a fashion that will allow them to function and to protect the community and the society. When you see Muslims, they don't even care about what's happening in the world. Don't care about what's happening to other people. The youth are shocked, are confused. Where are the principles? Where is the law? Where is the human rights? Where is the role models? They lost trust in the people around them, and they lost trust and everything around them. That's why, my brothers and sisters, it is so important during this tough time to be very, very aware of what is going on in your children's mind and heart. It is so important to reach out to the young man and woman and to the people who this is considered for them a very new experience. Talk to them. Listen to them. Let them share their feelings. It is so important that we keep the next generation and we keep our youth, we keep our community strong. Keep our community filled with hope We keep our community driven by our dreams, not by our problems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yanfa'ana bima naqul. أقول ما سمعتم أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد. In these verses, which is the Prophet always used to repeat them in Jumu'ah and Eid. All of these three verses order us to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because one of the things that we need is to be in this critical time in the right side. And that right side where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَأَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Three verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly saying that the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide exits when you don't see an exit. The taqwa of Allah provide shields when you feel yourself exposed. A taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides security when you are terrified. The taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantee the good ending when you don't see the future and you don't see, you know, in front of you. The taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, will be in your sight. مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. And also will provide you protection from any plots against you. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, I hope I will have few moments because I have few points I want to share about how can you outlive this era? And how these, some of the practical points that I have as a solution for you beside the emphasis on the importance of taqwa. So if you join us, inshallah, after Salatul Isha, whatever event we have, I will basically inject this few minutes to talk about practical point because I don't want to hold you, you know, more than what the time for Jumu'ah is. But I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of us and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our community, to bless our society, to bless our country and to protect us from all evil. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Jannatul Na'im. اللهم إنا نسألك الفردوس الأعلى اللهم إنا نسألك الفردوس الأعلى اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وذرياتنا وأزواجنا وقنا وإياهم شر الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم مسكنا بالإسلام والسنة حتى نلقاك اللهم مسكنا بالإسلام حتى نلقاك اللهم أحينا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإسلام واحشرنا في زمرة نبينا عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك أن تنزل بركتك وحفظك ورحمتك وعافيتك علينا في هذا المسجد وعلى جاليتنا يا أرحم الراحمين وبارك لنا في أعمالنا وأموالنا وأولادنا وأوقاتنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اغفر لنا ذنوبنا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم واستر عيوبنا إنك أنت الكريم اللهم إنا نسألك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أن تعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم إنا نسألك يا أرحم الراحمين أن ترحم المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها ارحمهم يا ربي في فلسطين ارحمهم في سوريا ارحمهم في العراق ارحمهم في باكستان وأفغانستان وبنغلاديش وفي بورما وفي أفريقيا وفي كل أرض وتحت كل سماء يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم اللهم يا حي يا قيوم اللهم يا حي يا قيوم نسألك أن تصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأن تصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأن تصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها مآلنا وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وقوموا للصلاة يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استوى تدل. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Our neighbor, the Bay Area Unitarian Universal Church, doing a very important program, Know Your Rights, presented by the ACLU of Texas. So they will talk about a lot about